He's the Kanaichi 2 Technology Director from the University of California at San Diego. The California Institute of Telecommunications and Information Technology, now known as Qualcomm Institute. He will be presenting an integrated West Coast Science DMC for data intensive research. Welcome, Greg.
So as I said, the Pacific Research Platform was announced at the CENIC annual meeting last month in California. And it's a collaborative activity between the universities in California within the UC system, as well as other private universities, CENIC, the Corporation for Educational Networking Initiatives in California, the Cal IT Institute, and it's the work of many individuals. The goal of the Pacific Research Platform is a project to forward the work of advanced researchers and their access to technical infrastructure with a vision to connecting all the National Science Foundation cyber infrastructure grant recipients, as well as the Department of Energy Labs and the San Diego Supercomputer Center. Larry Spahr gave an overview of this activity last month. So the goal is to bring research labs closer together using high-speed networks, using light paths to connect all data generators and consumers, creating a big data plane integrated with high-performance global networks. So as one of the UCSD researchers said, Phil Papadopoulos, the goal is to take the bisection bandwidth of a cluster interconnect, but deploy it over a wide area region. He said 10 campuses, actually California-wide, West Coast-wide. This is basically a Pacific Research Platform activity. So how did we get to this point to assume that we need tens, if not hundreds, of gigabits of network connectivity to support research activities? Well, some would say it started back in 1995 at the supercomputing conference that took place in San Diego, California, with an initiative led by folks at the University of Illinois and the National Center for Supercomputing Applications. They called that year the Information Library Year. And they made the assumption that high-speed networks were the future for research activities. And at Supercomputing 95, they set up a demonstration using then the ATM technologies to stand up, unfortunately only for a short period of time, 155 megabit ATM-based networks that flowed into the Convention Center in San Diego and provided a demonstration of 65 science projects. And along with the demonstration also identified emerging technologies that would need such huge bandwidth, at least huge in those days. Network visualization applications were demonstrated. Large-scale immersive displays were demonstrated. And they also had the beginnings of a software or middleware that would allow for communication between the demonstration points around the United States. This was also, of course, one of the earliest computer data collaborations with the telephone corporations in the United States. It could not have been done without their support. So this was this was a slide I was just speaking to. And go to the next slide, please. Move the time forward a decade. It's now 2005. In California, the California Institute for Telecommunications and Information Technology was opening their research buildings at UCSD and at UC Irvine. This picture depicts the UCSD location. And with the opening of that building, Larry Smart, Tom DeFonte, and Maxine Brown put on the, or coordinated the iGRID 2005 conference. And at that conference, the goal was to show demonstrations of 10 gigabit per second networks that were
location and processing in another location.
And this essentially was what the OPTA platform was supposed to demonstrate. It was supposed to show, provide a showcase for new technologies such as emerging immersive visualization, emerging 4K video, attaching instrumentation to networks, being able to access those systems and instruments basically from anywhere in the world. And that was a research activity from 2005 to approximately 2010 at UCSD to support distributed storage, computation, and visualization. In the meantime, CNIC was working away at upgrading the California-wide networks, and Pacific Wave was in the process of upgrading the Washington and Oregon networks in conjunction with the California networks to 100 gigabit per second path, with a long-term goal of connecting those Pacific networks to networks for research and education to the east using Internet 2 and DOE ESnet connectivity. So this is happening in 2010 onward. In 2012, something pivotal happened. The National Science Foundation started to seriously fund the need for higher speed networks, both in individual laboratories and at their home institutions, also recognizing that networking consortia like CNIC and Internet 2 and Pacific Wave were starting to improve the bandwidth between those institutions. So the CCNIE program, which is a program from the National Science Foundation to do this, started providing funds for individual projects, many of which are in California. At UCSD, we had a large data plane project, also known as PRISM, that was one of these network information infrastructure programs from NSF. We built on the OptiPeer and OptiPlatform activities and basically increased the fiber capabilities across campus so that a dozen different research laboratories in different disciplines all became interconnected at 10 to 100 gigabits per second, as well at the same time that UCSD as a campus as a whole was being connected to the CNIC infrastructure at 100 gigabits per second. So at this point, within UCSD, we're starting to take what used to be separate individual laboratories that only had high bandwidth interlaboratories and extend them across campus so that they would have access to collaborate with other laboratories as well as access to resources from the San Diego Supercomputer Center to take advantage of the supercomputers, the processing and storage capabilities there. At UCSD, the San Diego Supercomputer at that time had obviously multiple supercomputers, the most recent of which is a 2 petaflop Comet supercomputer, complementing the Borden supercomputer, which was constructed approximately 3 years ago at this point, that made use of solid-state storage. And an Oasis data store, a 6 petaflop data store, was put together as well for use of the community, the research community. And at that point, all of those super processing and super storage capabilities were connected together at over a terabyte per second. They had a 10/128 gigabit per second links switched between all three of those capabilities. In the meantime, NSF Exceed program was starting to the NSF Exceed program was starting to interconnect supercomputer centers across the campus, across the country. And now we're seeing new resources come together on a national scale to support research activities. As I mentioned earlier, at SDSC, they have a new comment system, which is a two petaflop system architected for the long tail of science. That was, again, thanks to the National Science Foundation. ESNet put together its Edison system, which is a Cray XC30 2.4 petaflop system. So we have a growing capability of compute resources, and we need and are attempting to build the increase in network bandwidth to be able to access those compute and storage capabilities. So why would we do that, and what can we do with that? Well, that is what some administrators would say. Well, why would you need 100 gigabit communications capability? It may be obvious to some remote analysis of large data sets, for example, in particle physics, connection to remote campus compute and storage clusters, or maybe electron microscopy and next-generation sequencers, providing remote access to campus data repositories for protein data banks, mass spectrometry data banks, and maybe most important of all, enabling remote collaborations at both the national and international level. We have collaborators that, as Carlos mentioned earlier, make use of the Large Hadron Collider as part of either the Open Science Grid or the LHC program. We're seeing an increase in demands for life science data processing at the San Diego Supercomputer hosts the Cancer Genomics Hub for University of California, Santa Cruz. And we're seeing increased data flows from 1 gigabit per second in May of 2012 to 8 gig in 2013 and 15 gig in 2015. And to turn those flows into actual quantities of data processed, we're at a 30 petabyte and increased point of data transfer requests from this database system. In the on the earth science side, there's the need to enable real-time coupling between shake tables and supercomputing simulations for administrators to get access to that data to be able to make decisions rapidly. In the astronomy side, at the Palomar Observatory, the Intermediate Palomar Transient Factory collects 300 images a night, 30 gigabytes in total. And at the same time, the Dark Energy Survey is collecting 250 images a night, 150 gigabyte per night. Those numbers get quadrupled when the data is transferred for additional processing and metadata collection through NERVS. And we're also collaborating more through distributed visualization of big data. At one demonstration, we accessed data from Oak Ridge National Laboratories, rendered it at Argonne National Labs, and displayed it at the with the OptiPortal visualization display wall at the Supercomputer Center. We find ongoing collaborations, in particular using immersive visualization and large-scale display walls between institutions that have those capabilities. This is a picture that shows the room display environment at LIT at UCSD with some real-time collaboration with the Electronics Visualization Laboratory, which is at the University of Illinois. So back to this, back to the Pacific Research Platform proposal. This proposal recognized that the time was right for many reasons to consider 100 gigabit connectivity between major laboratories in the West. And it built on research and developments of other groups that have been successful with high-speed networking, in particular DOE's ESNet Science DMC, a scalable network design model for optimizing science data transfers. So ESNet tells us that a science DMC has a number of characteristics, including a network architecture designed for high-performance applications with science networks distinct from general-purpose networks. They have special performance requirements, maybe different types of security requirements, different types of access requirements. The use of dedicated systems for data transfer. We're now usually at laboratories as well as in at supercomputers. We're seeing the need for equipment that can perform and take advantage of the higher speed networking. The need for constant performance measurement and network testing, regularly used to characterize and troubleshoot the network. Unfortunately, when you set up networks, they don't just work. And in fact, they're very dynamic, and if they're not constantly monitored and attended to, you won't be able to maintain the performance that they could provide. And we still need security policies and enforcement mechanisms, but those tailored more towards high-performance science environments.
Pacific Wave are upgrading to connect them at higher speeds. The
lower price point for UCSD Fiones are being rapidly deployed as data termination nodes at those locations. And this is what we see. This is the Pacific Research Platform as it stands today. Collections of 10 to 100 gigabit connections between campuses in the scenic core. The scenic core in blue with 100 gigabit connectivity. And basically, we see this California-wide. We see this up through Oregon and Washington. And we're going to push to see this push down into Mexico as well, probably starting with our SASE friends over the link that Carlos described earlier. And with that, I think I'm out of time. And I thank you for your...